If you're able, will you stand with me as we share together our gospel lesson? You can find that in your pew Bible on a page 1008. It is from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Earlier in chapter 6, Jesus has sent his disciples out in groups of two to go out and teach and heal. And we pick up the story there when they return. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going and they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many saw them leaving and recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion upon them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Well, that would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fishes." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, and he broke the loaves. Then he gave it to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the fish among them all. They ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. May we hear and appropriate God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Good morning, Faith Westwood. To those online as well as those on site, we're so glad that you are here today. And you know, at 9 o'clock today, we had a group of middle schoolers who had a lock-in last night. They stayed up most of the night, but yet they sat up in the balcony. Wasn't that awesome? And so I want to give a special shout out to any of the youth sponsors and adults who are here. And I also want to say kudos to all of the adults who are wearing pajamas today. That is being daring discipleship today. Now, today we want to especially remember to be kind because we know that daylight savings is kind of hard, isn't it? It's kind of hard on a lot of people. So especially be kind to those for whom this is difficult and challenging. Now, in this Lenten season, we are remembering the stories where Jesus says, "Go." We know that when Jesus says, "Go," people respond and lives are transformed. As we are embracing this familiar story today, we remember how Jesus feeds. We also claim how this is a very unique story because it is the only miracle story to be found in all of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So in that spirit, would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, open our ears that we may hear your word. Open our eyes that we may see your glory in our midst, and open our hearts that we might know your Spirit's presence with us in these moments. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, feeding the hungry is greater work than raising the dead. That was spoken by Saint John Chrysostom. Saint John was an early church father who served as the Archbishop of Constantinople. He was not afraid to address the abuse of authority by religious and political leaders. He is probably best known, though, for preaching the Bible and applying it to everyday life. St. John also emphasized charitable giving. He was always concerned with the spiritual and earthly needs of the poor. Perhaps that is why he said the words, "Feeding the hungry is a greater work than raising the dead." Now, last week we heard about Jesus freeing a woman from her bleeding disorder. And then we remembered how Jesus freed a child from the arms of death. Now, I have to wonder if St. John was actually thinking of this particular greater work of feeding this particular crowd because of all of the details that are included. As we reflect on this greater work today, we are going to examine the problems and solutions within the story. And then we're going to reflect on how Jesus feeds us physically and spiritually, and how we can feed people too. Now, problem number one, the disciples and Jesus need rest. Now, most often, you and I may be tempted to overlook this fact that was immediately presented in our gospel passage. According to Mark, Jesus had recently, as Alan shared, sent the disciples out two by two to do three very important things: to preach the need for repentance, to drive out demons, and to anoint sick people and heal them. Remember that for Mark's gospel, the ministry of Jesus and his disciples resembles a race more than a marathon. So it is very significant that he notes in verse 31, "Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he," Jesus, "said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get rest.'" These words had to be so welcome to the disciples who were still debriefing what they had experienced when they went out two by two. Now, as they were going by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, their plans had to change because the people recognized them and went ahead of them. The reality is that Jesus and the disciples encountered people in need everywhere they went. In fact, the people lived in a culture that kept them in a constant state of longing for their physical, mental, emotional needs to be met. The people had been spiritually longing for that Savior to bring healing and hope into their lives. Thus, the needs of the people outweighed the hours in a day. Now, even though Jesus may have been telling people to not tell anyone about their miraculous healings, lives were being changed. And so word was getting out around the Galilean countryside. The disciples had needs, yet the people's needs had to be addressed. So solution number one, Jesus and the disciples recognized that real felt needs still had to be met. Even in their exhaustion, even in their compassion fatigue, Jesus saw that very large crowd and Jesus had compassion on them. What the disciples had just experienced when they went out two by two would be helpful now as they were dealing with the crowds, and soon it would be put to the test. This problem number one speaks to you and I as we recognize that there are moments when we are overwhelmed and we are in need of rest. There are days and weeks when the tasks far outweigh the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual energy that we have available. Solution number one for us is when we connect with our spiritual source and when we rely on God's strength. And of course, as Jesus demonstrates compassion to meet us where we are, we too are to demonstrate compassion to those we meet. Problem number two. Jesus recognizes that the people are like sheep without a shepherd. John the Baptist had already proved that God's people needed more spiritual leadership in their lives. And we know that they had a king, but that king was Herod Antipas. And Herod Antipas was not a righteous king. He did not care for the people, nor did he give them any dignity or respect. Sheep without a shepherd do not have anyone to lead or guide them. Sheep without a shepherd do not have protection from enemies or from those who would harm them. Sheep without a shepherd do not have someone to heal their wounds and care for them. Yet this problem is deeper than we could ever imagine. As sheep without a shepherd, the people were also spiritually starving. They needed spiritual teaching. Jesus was sent into the world to feed this spiritual hunger. So solution number two, Jesus gives the people a shepherd. Of course, the people didn't receive just any shepherd, did they? God's people were given the good shepherd, the one who would guide them and lead them to green grassy fields, the one who would protect them, the one who truly cared for them and their needs. And the gospel tells us that Jesus then began to teach them many things. This teaching would have included such things that were in the Sermon on the Mount, reminding the people that God had included them in his kingdom. Now, even though the Sermon on the Mount in its entirety is not included in the Gospel of Mark, we know that Jesus taught about loving one's enemies, living out what it means to do to others as you would have others do to you. Jesus taught about giving to those in need, and he also talked about asking and seeking and knocking. This problem, number two, speaks to you and I when we recognize that there are times that we too are like those sheep. We are also spiritually hungry. We long for spiritual connection, and we want it yesterday. Solution number two for us comes when we stay connected with the Good Shepherd, the one who shows us what is most important and what is most basic. How to stay connected with God and with his one and only Son. Problem number three. We know this one. The people are physically hungry. First, they were spiritually hungry. That's why Jesus had compassion on the people to teach them God's truths and promises, making sure that they knew about God's kingdom and how it included them. And now, of course, they were physically hungry. The disciples point out to Jesus that they were in a remote place. It was getting late. Furthermore, there was quite a crowd there. No spoilers. We're told at the end of this passage that there were 5,000 men present, which meant that the crowd was exponentially larger, including women and children. When the disciples saw the problem, their solution was for Jesus to just simply send the people away, tell them to go to the surrounding countrysides and villages so that they could buy themselves something to eat. Remember that the Gospel of Mark initially told us in this passage that the disciples were so consumed by their mission and ministry that they did not even have a chance to eat. So they weren't just speaking on behalf of these people, were they? Jesus addresses the problem with the words, "You give them something to eat." That's so Jesus, isn't it? That was certainly blunt. That was certainly to the point. But the disciples felt like they needed to continue to point out the obvious to Jesus. That would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? This problem was huge. And Jesus wanted them to deal with it? Solution number three. Jesus invites the disciples to be a part of the solution. "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." The disciples were instructed to do something, to go to see for themselves how much food was available. Now, Mark makes it sound like it just took a couple of seconds, right? We're not sure how long it took, but when the disciples found out how much food was available, they reported 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I don't know about you, but did you do the math? This really doesn't sound like a solution, does it? This was no potluck or free-for-all. Jesus then directed the people to sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties in the grass. And then Jesus took the food that was offered, he blessed the food, he broke it, and then the disciples distributed it. And the passage clearly states to us, they all ate and were what? Satisfied. Which means that the people had enough to feed their physical hunger. Furthermore, the disciples picked up the leftovers, totaling 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish, indicating that there was more than enough available to the people. Of course, this is a miracle story of Jesus, and yet the disciples and the people participated in it, providing the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish to be blessed by Jesus and shared by the disciples. This problem, number 3, speaks to you and I when we recognize that there are times that people are indeed physically hungry too. We may find ourselves in remote places, late in the day when problems multiply and solutions seem challenging or even impossible for us. The solution comes when we combine Mark's interpretation of this miracle story along with the Gospel of John. In it, in John, the people are trying to make sense of what this bread means. Looking back, they remember that God gave them manna, bread from heaven, to their ancestors in the wilderness. In this miracle story, Jesus was giving them the bread of life to fill them. And looking forward, Jesus himself would break bread and give it to his disciples, so that later the disciples and his followers would do this in remembrance of him. If Jesus feeds us the bread of life, this invites us to challenge ourselves to ask why we fill ourselves with temporary things that don't satisfy us. The bread of life, Jesus, can give us something that will satisfy us into eternity. I don't know about you, but I want this bread. Don't you? So Jesus feeds. When there are problems and opportunities before the disciples, Jesus invited them to be a part of the solutions. Thinking about how Jesus feeds people physically and spiritually, are you prepared to be fed by Jesus? Because spiritually, Jesus is providing teaching and healing for you. You and I encounter this teaching through devotions and worship and music and scripture, faith groups, and even through mission projects. You and I encounter healing through prayer, whether it be in private or in worship or even through the prayer chain or even through an anointing with oil. And physically, you and I pray and trust in our daily bread to be provided. And will you choose to help feed others? It has been said, one cannot think well, love well, sleep well, if one has not dined well. Even though Jesus was able to feed people spiritually before he fed them physically in our miracle story today, we often think about the opportunity to feed people physically before we are able to feed them spiritually. Because sometimes it's easier for us to address their physical hunger and real felt needs first, right? We can recognize that the needs are very great, especially in the Omaha metro area. Knowing that Jesus feeds, I wonder if each church in the Omaha metro provided food resources for those who are hungry, do you think that food insecurity could be eliminated here? Would we begin to conquer other issues that poverty brings with it? You know, when St. John sought to address issues of poverty as an early church father, we know that Mother Teresa did so as well in her day. She once said, if you can't feed 100 people, then just feed one. Now, this church believes that we want to spiritually and physically feed as many children, women, and men as we are able. In fact, our FaithWorks pantry feeds so many families physically with a meal and then allows them to go shopping so they can get the items that they need most. For Thanksgiving, our faith family members and friends prepared over 300 bags of food for distribution. For birthdays, special bags are offered to families to provide a birthday cake for kids. Today, we collected PJs and Pop-Tarts. I'm sorry, we wore PJs and collected Pop-Tarts for those pantry families. And before Easter, again, Project EB, Easter Basket, will provide baskets of toys and goodies for the kids of the families, the patrons that we serve. And of course, this just represents just a few of the things that Faith Westwood is doing in terms of addressing food insecurity in our corner of the metro area. Our food collections, our clothing collections, and our community partnerships mean that so many physical needs are being met in the name of Jesus Christ. Today's gospel passage reminds us that Jesus feeds. And when Jesus feeds, miracles happen. The disciples and the crowds learned that they could trust in Jesus' mighty power and abundant blessing. And you and I can choose to do the same. The disciples and the crowds learned that with several loaves of bread and a couple of fish, they can feed a lot of people. And they can all be satisfied spiritually and physically too. And you and I can choose to do the same. And Jesus knew more than anyone that by feeding people spiritually and physically, that is loving them. The disciples learned this important lesson. And you and I can choose to do the same. Jesus conquers, forgives, frees, and feeds. And when Jesus says go, people respond. Their lives are transformed, especially with five loaves of bread and with two fish. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious and ever-loving God, we come before you. We marvel at these miracle stories that do remind us of your mighty power, your abundant blessing, that remind us of God's great love and grace. Jesus had compassion on the people. And God, we imagine ourselves in that crowd, spiritually and physically hungry, knowing that Jesus can feed us. So God, let us open our minds, our hearts, and our spirits this day to be fed with your word and with all of your blessing. And when we are tempted to believe that we haven't received enough, God, remind us that we can be satisfied because the good shepherd has cared for our needs. God, right now, there are so many needs within our church family and community. There are people who are hungry, so inspire us to continue to bless the FaithWorks pantry so that we can feed people. And God, if there are people who need healing right now, there are people who are brokenhearted at the losses they've experienced in their lives. There are people who are awaiting surgery and medical procedures. There are people who want answers, and they wish they had those answers yesterday, but God, they're waiting upon you. So God, inspire us. Bless us in the name of Jesus Christ to do our best to make a difference in all of the ways that we are able. And God, all of this we pray in the name of the one who taught his disciples to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.